Valley of Famine contains mature content and adult language. Check the show notes for specific content warnings. Hello and welcome, listeners, to the Rogue Valley Roleplayers. My name is Ben. I'm here with Nick, Austin, Ed, and Rosemary, and we're ready to play another session of Valley of Famine. Once again, my name is Ben. I am the marshal tonight, running the shindig, doing all that good stuff.
Hello, I'm Nick. I'm playing Haru Matsuhara, the samurai who is about to get a stern talking to.
And I'm Austin, playing Herod Graves, a broken man that the darkness should fear.
I'm Ed, and I am playing the widow, Daisy Graves.
My name is Rosemary, and I play the deputy, Rachel Jane Kennedy. She's a hex singer.
So we pick up on Jacksonville once more. It is raining. The black void in the sky has cleared away. You can see the sun shining through. Sort of. There's a pretty heavy layer of clouds, but it's obviously day. We see the Queen Victoria, God bless her majesty, come flying in over the town and then land on the outskirts of town this time instead of like right in the middle of everything. Rachel, you and Haru and everyone else that was on board the airship get off and start walking to town. There's also, we can see from this aerial shot as the Queen Victoria, God bless her majesty, comes in, kind of does a circle. We see there's been some sort of large bonfire lit in a field on the outskirts of town. And I think we see some motion in the town as people are dragging the bodies of monsters out to this fire to be burned. As you disembark from the Queen Victoria, God bless her majesty, we see the Bailey boys actually are the ones that have been saddled with the cleanup duty, hauling monsters around. They're mostly fairly somber about it. I think the Bailey boys saw their own little bit of action in defending the sheriff's office, so they're a little cut and bloodied. So they're not up to their usual shenanigans. They're just moving bodies. They've probably commandeered a wagon to do this, so they're not just like dragging bodies. They're loading them into a wagon and then hauling it over to the pyre and throwing them on there. I don't think we see Daisy out in the streets. Where is Herod at this point? What's Herod doing in the aftermath of this catastrophe?
He is examining the machine.
So you're inside the Jacksonville Inn then?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're standing in the corner watching because Daisy and Alician Cordova are currently going over the machine. Alician Cordova is pretty confused about what she built. She knows she built it, but as she's examining it, she's making comments to you, like, and she's confused because this machine is not doing what she thought it was going to do. She thought it was going to open a portal, but it seems it's the way it's built right now and designed. It's basically intended to pull the local area into the hunting grounds.
That's not good.
No.
But it works. It just doesn't quite work on the scale she wants it to.
Yeah, it doesn't work in the way that she, like, it wouldn't open a portal to bring her father to the real world. It would just bring her and everyone else in the Rogue Valley to her father. And assuming that her father was waiting for her on the other side.
How much do we know about the hunting grounds? Like, I assume the agency knows something about it.
You know something. You know there's an other world. You may not refer to it as the hunting grounds. Hell is a word that's been bandied about for this other place. There, you know, any other cultural word or mythology for an underworld or a nether place or whatever. There's lots of words for it, and lots of conflicting reports. The agency's probably had some people assigned to studying the hunting grounds, and it's sort of a reflection of the real world. Heavy emphasis on the sort of, in case you didn't pick up on that. Rachel and Haru, you're walking back into town. You don't see Malcolm Locke anywhere. You don't see Sylvia Redgrave. Curtis is probably sitting with his gun nearby and at hand, tending to his raccoon. He's sitting on like a bench or something in front of a storefront that's still intact.
I think I would have brought my family with me. The ranch burned down, right?
Yeah, the ranch was a loss. So they're Cassandra, her children, and Isaac Moon are with you. I think they're probably going to stay on the airship for now.
Oh, okay.
For one, that's kind of like a cool novelty something that's going to keep the kids distracted from their trauma.
I just had an image of Gregory babysitting the kids.
Yes, that is definitely what is happening, and Gregory is having the time of his life.
Yeah, I think Rachel would say something to them like, you know, stay here on the ship. I'm going to go into town and just check out the situation. And, yeah, head off the ship with Haru. And, yeah, she'll look around to see if she can spot Malcolm, Daisy, or Wynon.
Yeah, you definitely don't...
Sorry, it's Harrod now, right?
It's Harrod, yeah. You definitely don't see any of the above. You can see that Jonathan and Kane have been laid out in a cart, which is not currently hitched to any horses or anything. Someone has probably thrown a tarp or a heavy blanket over them.
I think Rachel looks at that cart and then kind of squares her shoulders and hurries past it. She's not quite ready to deal with those bodies yet. She wants to find, I think, Daisy or Herod and just figure out what went on while we were gone.
Okay. Where do you go? To the sheriff's office, to the Jacksonville Inn.
I mean, it was fairly obvious that there was something weird going on at the inn, right?
Yeah.
So I think Rachel would probably head there first, thinking, you know, if they took care of it, they might still be there cleaning things up.
Okay.
I was going to say Haru's doing much the same thing. When it comes to Kane and Jonathan's bodies, he deals with it in just a very traditional mindset of like, oh, they died a warrior's death, and those are not them. They are no longer there. So I don't need to feel the sadness of their passing as much. I mean, he does feel sad at their passing, but only as much as is necessary for them to move on.
Okay.
More of a holding on to their memory kind of thing. And he sees Rachel square her shoulders, and he's keeping an eye on her, how she's going to be. So will follow her into the Jacksonville Inn.
Rachel will push open the door, assuming it's still standing, and call out, Daisy? Herod?
Yeah, no one answers you. You're all in the invention room, or whatever, the portal room, and that's far enough down that plus there's also probably noises going on. You're tinkering with this machine, trying to work it out. There's a ghost rock generator you've probably turned back on to get lights. The machine is off, so you're not at risk of accidentally, like, restarting the whole drawn into the hunting grounds process. It's uncomfortably quiet in the Jacksonville Inn. There's definitely like a smell and a feel of death in here.
Are there any bodies in the hotel lobby, which is where I assume we entered?
Probably the body of the guy that Mayfu killed, which is probably right by a set of stairs going down to like the wine cellar or whatever.
We should maybe the downstairs.
Could be. She'll check just to make sure they're not in the general lobby, like hurt, and then head downstairs.
Yeah, you look around, you don't see them. You head downstairs. The smell of death gets stronger, accompanied now by the stench of blood, and you find yourselves stepping into the charnel house that the cellar has become. And you can see that there is another crudely made door that's probably open and seems to be leading deeper down.
This needs to be burned.
My God. Rachel will pull a cloth up over her nose and mouth.
This is sick.
This is horrible. Daisy? Herod? You down here? She'll yell out.
Yes! Yes, I'll be right up.
Haru's staring in just absolute shock and appalled at the lack of the absolute lack of humanity in this situation. He just wants to burn the building down.
Come down. There's something for you to see.
All right. What is that down there? What's that? What's going on?
It's the machine that was causing that strange black surface that we saw in the sky. It's a portal.
All right, let's go take a look at it.
You go downstairs and you see the machine and you immediately recognize it as a mechanized metallic copy of the gate you saw underneath Osiris Cordova's manor. His was made of stone and covered and etched with runes. This is made of ghost steel and gears and gizmos, but also etched with various intricate runes. Attached to wires, you see these weird whirligig devices in the corners of the room that are currently off, but they seem to have like a supply of this silvery, clearish liquid cached in like flasks. That's what I called it last time. They're contained in some flasks.
Do you see those flasks along the side?
Yeah, some sort of chemical it looks like in there.
It's not a chemical, as I understand it. It is, in fact, consolidated fear.
I think Rachel just gets to look like, yeah, might as well be. What else could possibly go wrong today?
It seems that their activities were designed to cause panic, and somehow this was feeding the machine.
I think, in fact, Rachel has that, she starts laughing. Like, when you just take so much shit, you just kind of have to laugh because it's so unbelievably awful.
Do you remember Alishan Cordova?
Yeah? You're going to tell me she's here, too?
Yeah, you see her. She's standing next to Daisy tinkering with the machine. She kind of looks up and then very quickly looks back down at her work.
Herod leans close to you and kind of whispers, "We need to keep her on task. She is mentally vulnerable, if you understand what I mean."
She honestly looks like she could probably sleep.
How long has she been down here for?
He shrugs.
We saw her before beginning of winter. That was the last we saw her, so...
She willingly turned off the machine.
Well, that's good.
I would like to say that we finally put Paul in his place.
That is a relief to hear. Were you able to reach him in time?
Frank died. The ranch is burned down.
Unfortunate.
Cassie and the kids are on the Queen Victoria.
Does Hera know who Frank is? You've met so many Franks at this point.
I think he's being polite. He doesn't.
Okay.
But he's just trying to, like, you know, give her some space and actually be, like, halfway decent person for once.
Okay.
And not ask a bunch of questions.
We got Paul, but not before he was able to kill Frank and burn down the ranch. My sister and her kids are on the airship. What are you trying to do down here? What's all this? What are you doing with this machine? You shut it down. Can't we burn this place to the ground now?
This machine provides an opportunity. An opportunity to take the fight to them instead of having it always be a defensive war. The agency can make use of this to stop this issue for good. That is my hope, at least.
If I may, This machine, it does what?
It opens a portal between our world and the other one.
Alishan will speak up at this point and say, it doesn't quite do that, but it could be made to do that.
I'd like to say that sounds like a terrible idea.
No, I think that sounds like a fantastic idea.
And because he says it sounds like a great idea, it's an even worse one.
No, I mean it. I really mean it. Do you want Moloch on your back for the rest of your unlife?
Haru, consider this. What have these people done to deserve this? What did anyone in this place you call home do to deserve this sort of invasion from, for lack of a better term, the forces of hell?
I'm not saying that...
Do you think they're going to stop, Haru? Do you think that just because you killed a few of their minions, they'll stop trying to murder us?
That's not the point I'm trying to make.
Then what is the point you're trying to make? We have to put it, stop it to it at its source.
Puts her hand on your shoulder, Haru, because I think Rachel knows that Jonathan's dead, so she's just like, look, she's giving you the look like, look, he's upset. His brother just died. Go easy on him.
I mean, he's right. You're fooling yourself if you think this will never end. But I will tell you, in all his arrogance, despite all his planning and caution, never once has that son of a bitch ever considered that anyone might come for him in the hunting grounds. So maybe actually give it some consideration, regardless of whether I am often a proponent of bad plans, or joke plans, or murder plans. I mean, this is a murder plan. Let's be honest, we're planning to murder Moloch.
I don't expect you to dive in there with me, Haru, but I will gather the forces I need and then handle this problem for good.
Well, can we just take a moment to, I don't know, collect ourselves before we go jumping into this other world?
I think you'll have plenty of time for that, Miss Kennedy. This machine has to be repurposed in order to do what you want it to do, what you're talking about.
What does it do right now?
Not what I intended it to do, Alishan says awkwardly.
Alishan, if I may, if we're doing this way, you look as though you could use some rest.
A good meal or two.
An actual food, and not whatever Paul was making upstairs.
I guess I've been so busy with the machine, I haven't even thought about it. And, you know, when it sounds like there's no time to lose. We need to get, you know, Miss Gilmore and I have to...
Clear your head, and it'll make more sense.
I require time to marshal the forces and materials I will need. You should have at least a few days. He gives her a cold stare.
I don't know if this is it's going to be done in a few days. This is technology that's never been done before. I don't even know what I built.
I'm sure Daisy can help you figure that out. She's the finest inventor. She's most terrifying inventor.
Smartest woman I know, honestly.
Yeah.
She is brilliant, as long as you read between the lines.
Look, Alishan, you've been trapped down here, held prisoner?
I guess I she kind of rubs at her temple and says, it's all kind of a blur, to be honest. I was so certain I was doing what needed to be done to get my father back, to rescue him from wherever he's at, but I think now that it's too late for him.
I'm sincerely sorry.
So am I.
We all honestly could use some rest and process what has happened here today.
Will you let us help you?
Yes. I mean, really, it's more I'm helping you, isn't it, at this point?
You look like you could use some rest, Alicia.
We are all helping each other.
I mean, yeah, I could use some rest, but there's no time. I mean, we have to get this done.
At that point, you hear a little... Like, oh, no!
No, what'd you do? You discharged the phalanges.
That's exactly what happened. I was trying to...
The phalanges or the flanges?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to adjust this flange to try to reset the polarity. And...
The phalange flange.
Oh, there's fear juice all over my face.
Oh, don't waste that.
Rachel, Haru, when'd you get here?
Daisy, it's good to see that you're unhurt?
Well, I got a little burn on my finger, on my phalanges from the flange.
Daisy, I know how excited you get when you find new technology, but do you think we could take some time to just recover here? Alicia looks like she could use the rest.
Camera pans over to Alicia, who was doing something to fix whatever you were doing, and you see that she's now slumped over the machine and is, like, out.
Well, we gotta get this thing running. I mean, it could help us cure Haru.
Rachel quirks an eyebrow at that.
What?
How do you figure?
Well, we go into the hunting lands, and maybe we can use it to get into the city of Thalos.
Okay.
Rachel's like, back to that curing Haru.
I do object to this. I have no idea what she's on about, but I do object to the curing, as that implies my immediate obliteration.
Would you really die, or would you just be free to be a...
Game over, man. Game over.
I would very much like to end this, though.
Well, then, we're going to have problems should you ever actually get a viable and realistic method to revive yourself. But since the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim, unless your scientist friend better explains what she's on about, I can't imagine it will really come up.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Daisy, there's things that need to be tended to. Can this not wait a day?
It is getting late. How late is it?
It's actually should be like morning, because we did this all at night, didn't we?
No, you did this in the morning. I'd say it's probably late noon.
Oh, okay, so it's not that late. So it's still early. We got lots of daylight to burn, even though we're in a big old catacomb.
Daisy, in our short time together, I've learned one thing about you. You like to stay busy. So if you're looking for something to do, why don't you take some notes on how this machine works? And do me a favor, in the margins, put all your shit about the Murians. Don't put it in the rest of the notes. Like, make a little footnote and put your Lemurian stuff there so that, you know, all of that can be preserved and we can find that more easily. And then all of the information about how this technology works, how the interdimensional portal is created, put all that in the notes in like a very clear form.
She reaches into her pocket, pulls out a whole bunch of loose leaf notes and be like, so you mean I have to rewrite all of this?
Let me see those.
Oh, there's stuff about the Lemurians all throughout it.
Oh.
And how my plan to get into the city of Thalos. Yeah.
We'll work on it.
But yeah, she's been taking notes. There's like chalk marks all over the place on some of the designs and everything.
I'm going to head to where we sent the towns... Well, no, wait, no. Pikmin stayed in his cottage, didn't he?
Edgar Pikmin stayed in his cottage at the graveyard.
I'm going to find Mr. Pikmin and get him to I'm gonna help him with the hard work.
Has anyone seen Malcolm? Or
Malcolm?
We left him under the guard of Lao.
I haven't seen Lao either. just Curtis is up there tending to his hat.
Well, I was about to say we should ask Curtis. You should ask Curtis where they went while I do other things that are not doing that.
Fair enough. I know how you have taken a strange disliking to Curtis for some reason. Was it something he said?
I'm in mourning, he says.
Okay, so Haru, you're heading back up to the surface. Rachel, what are you doing?
Probably also going back upstairs.
Daisy?
That's a good question. Because I kind of want to keep being distracted by this project.
Is it kind of like Daisy's purposefully, I'm not ready to deal with those emotions and that reality?
Yeah. So she'll stay by, at least trying to tinker as much as she can.
Okay. What's Herod doing? Is he staying down there? Or maybe he starts cleaning up the charnel house?
No, I think what he wants to do is he wants to find somebody who survived the battle. Maybe the sheriff from the next town over. I forgot her name, but the witch sheriff.
The marshal?
Marshal.
Marshal Sylvia Redgrave?
Yep, Marshal Sylvia. He'll find her and ask her if she can check and see if that strange effect that was keeping us in the valley has disappeared. I feel like she would be good for that.
Okay, so you're heading up to the surface to look for her. Yeah. Is anyone doing anything with Alishan? She is passed out cold.
I was going to say, if I could also have Alishan, someone carry her upstairs if she's passed out, or help her stagger upstairs. And
is there a bed down here?
A bed.
There's a cot, yeah.
She needs to get out of the basement. I don't know if Rachel's strong enough to carry her. She has a D4 strength.
Haru will carry her up.
Yeah, okay. Between the two of you, she's not... At this point in time, she is not very heavy.
I'm going to carry her to the claim, though, because this whole building needs to be taken down brick by brick right now. We'll rebuild it, of course.
Or just collapse it.
Wedge as much ghost rock into it and just...
At this point, you probably take her back to the sheriff's office. That's most likely the current center of operations at this point.
Yeah.
One of the Bailey brothers there?
Billy is there, kind of directing people around. So you head up to the surface. Daisy, you're left by yourself in this room to continue tinkering and...
Oh, nothing's going to go wrong with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be any problems with that. No, not at all. It's going to be fine.
I'm nervous all of a sudden.
It's going to be all right.
We're all going to the hunting grounds.
It's fine.
Jack's Billy just goes...
Yeah, you don't see Billy there. He's probably supervising the Bailey boys because he doesn't trust them. There's not a single instance of reality where he trusts the Bailey boys to do anything competently.
I mean, they do all share one brain cell.
Yeah.
that's totally
Daniel's
fair.
Daniel's got that one.
As you step up to the door of the sheriff's office, the Jacksonville sheriff's office, you can hear some voices inside, which you recognize as Marshal Redgraves and Malcolm Locks.
Good to know. Rachel picks up the pace a little bit at that because she's worried about Malcolm.
How do you feel about that? Wait, let me try. How do you feel about that? She is excited to see Malcolm.
It makes sense. He's living.
Uh-huh. And you're dead as a doornail.
A constant reminder is a twist to the knife. You're doing very good at your job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Are we both, supporting Alicia, or are you just carrying her?
I think it would be one under each shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's, completely unconscious. You're probably doing a fireman carrier.
Oh, okay, yeah, fireman carrier. You're opening doors and stuff for me and things perfect. Like that as I'm carrying her.
So, yeah, I'll... open up the door to the sheriff's office.
You open the door. You see Malcolm Locke sitting on one of the desks being tended to by Sylvia Redgrave. She's bandaging him up. There's no sign of Lyle. You don't know where he got off to. But, Malcolm looks up as you step and kind of goes to tip a hat that he's not currently wearing. realizes he's just awkwardly grabbing an air and says, Deputy, is it done?
It is. Not without cost.
If I may, and Haru just kind of pushes past and to go to set Elysian down, kind of being blunt with Malcolm.
How you feeling?
Like I got shot. But Marshal Redgrave here has been very kind in getting me patched up. Although she used some sort of herbal thing, and Marshal Redgrave says is a poultice to prevent infection. Yes, it stung, I'm aware, but you'll thank me when you don't die.
Is Scout in the sheriff's office?
Yes. And at that point, Scout pounces on you and starts...
I was going to say, could like Rachel move forward like with her arms open and Malcolm thinks she's like going to hug him, but instead she like goes and hugs her dog, like,
yeah,
past him. She's like, oh, Scout, I'm so glad you're okay too, buddy. And gives him like a ruffle on the ears.
Yeah, something awkward there happens because Malcolm's like sitting on a desk. He's not really in any sort of situation where he'd be like, oh, we're hugging. He's being bandaged up. He's hurt pretty badly.
You don't
badly.
Have to do that. It's just a funny thought I had.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Haru sees, is he's looking up for where he's setting.
I see her moving to like hug, and Haru's like, oh, she's going to hug Malcolm. But then he like tucks Elysian in and sees her hugging Scout.
She just like buries her face in his side for a moment and takes a deep breath.
There's a long, awkward silence, and then you hear someone else walking up to the door, and you hear Billy clear his throat.
if I may, the Bailey boys have got most of the cleanup's going well, as long as I keep them on task.
You all right, Billy?
You can see that there are like tear streaks on Billy's face.
It was, I was planning for it to happen. I thought about it happening. I didn't want it to happen, but it happened. And, Ross said you should have this. His hand's trembling, and he's filled with emotion right now. He wanted me to give this to you.
Billy reaches into his pocket and pulls out some sort of like parcel or something. It looks like it's a note wrapped around something.
Oh yeah, Rachel will stand up and step over to Billy and take the parcel. It's gonna be strange without him around. He was a good man.
I reckon things will be different, but we all got some mighty big boots to fill. And that starts today. Billy heads back outside to start yelling at the Billy boys to get back to work.
Rachel, you unfold the note and you see that it's been wrapped around and pinned to the sheriff's badge.
She'll, I think, put the badge gently down on Ross's desk.
Mm-hmm.
And then open the note, which I'm going to do.
Rachel, if you are reading this, then I guess my instinct was accurate, and this was my last fight. I will wager a guess that events played out much the way I was shown. Assuming I have done my job correctly, you ought to finally be free of that bastard demon. I do sincerely hope that this is the case. Do not blame yourself for these events, Rachel. You have been caught up in a conflict that has been ongoing for a very long time, and which is unlikely to see any sort of end within your lifetime. Do not grieve for me, for I am finally free of strife and unburdened by the circumstances of my unnatural existence. I have known nothing but bloody conflict for nearly all of my life, and the thought of finally being at rest is a welcome one. Rather, if you would honor my memory, I ask that you take up my badge and my gun. There will always be things lurking in the shadows,
monsters in need of slaying, and this valley, this world needs heroes, needs you. It would be a comfort to me to know that you and the others were out there bringing a little light and a little hope to that darkness. You have been a good friend, Rachel, and I regret that I must leave you these burdens. The road ahead will be difficult and dangerous. Always remember that you need not walk it alone, and know that no matter what, hope never dies. Your friend always, Kane.
Yeah, so Rachel's reading this letter at Kane's desk, and when she gets to the end of it, she kind of wipes away a tear and straightens her shoulders, carefully folds the letter back up and places it like in the inside pocket of her vest or coat.
Okay.
And then turns around and looks at the room at large and says, Kane asked me to take up his badge. How do you all feel about that?
I can think of no finer replacement than you, Rachel.
You work closely with Sheriff Ross, so I reckon if there's anyone qualified right now, it'd be you.
Well, I'll try not to let you down. And she'll pin the badge to her vest.
It looks good on you.
Feels strange. I think at this point, Rachel wants to go look at Kane's body.
Okay.
Do we know how he would want to be, like, buried or laid to rest?
You probably don't.
Does he have a... Maybe here's what she's going to do. She's going to start going through his desk looking for a will of some kind or some sort of document that says what he would like to happen to him after he dies.
You find a scrap of paper that says, burn my house, give my badge and my gun to the deputy, and call it good.
Okay. Rachel kind of chuckles to herself at that, and then she'll take that scrap of paper and go look for his body.
What was Harrod doing again? Oh, you were looking for Redgrave, so you're probably there too.
Yeah, he'll come in a little bit later. I think he was taking the last few minutes to make some sketches of the device and some of the hookups to it.
Okay.
Sylvia, may I trouble you?
I suppose. If you must.
Are you at a point where you could do some reconnaissance for me?
How do you mean?
We tried to leave the valley before this whole war started, and it was impossible. There was some sort of force keeping us here. And I'm curious if our victory has lifted whatever that was. And I need someone to ride out and find out.
Well, I can certainly do that.
When we tried to leave, it was at approximately, and he kind of describes their trip in the airship and sort of the places that they tried to leave and failed.
All right, it's going to take me a while to ride out that way, but I'll find out and get back to you.
I know that you're tough, and that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, she finishes bandaging up Malcolm, and then she'll leave.
Malcolm, you go have a lie down on that cot there.
Normally I would argue, but a lie down sounds real good. I'm gonna go do just that. He eases himself off the desk he was just being bandaged on, goes into one of the cells and just lays down.
Harrod, if you're feeling up to it, I would like you to come with me to look at Kane and Jonathan.
Of course. That's all he says.
You walk out of the sheriff's office, and Haru, are you sticking with him?
Haru would want to get to Mr. Pittman as soon as possible to at least start digging the graves for them.
I'm thinking is Rachel's probably going to take these bodies to the Undertaker.
Okay, so yeah, then I'll go with you because I know that's going to be an emotional moment for you too. Oh, okay. So you have a shoulder to cry on. Mm.
So the three of you walk out into the muddy and bloody street, down to the cart where the bodies have been placed. And it's just sitting there, and they're still covered in a blanket, which is now probably sodden and soaked now.
I think Rachel just takes a moment looking at this. She looks over at Herod and... feels a kinship with you in that we've both lost someone important to us. And, she starts, I think, to reach out to, put her hand on your shoulder and then hesitates and kind of pulls back.
I think you see him just kind of staring at his shoes, just in deep thought, his face just sort of impassive, kind of unreadable.
Herod, if you're not ready for this, it's okay. Haru and I will handle it.
No, I'll come with, of course. Anything I can do to help, is all he says.
All right. She takes a breath and will just gently... She wants to look at Kane, I think, one last time, so she'll gently pull the blanket back just to...
Just to reveal Kane?
Yeah. Well, and she'll look at Herod, I think, and then leave the blanket over Jonathan. She doesn't want to do that if Herod doesn't want to see him.
You pull the blanket back to reveal Kane's face. His eyes are closed. There's the bullet hole right between his eyes. There's a slight trickle of goopy black blood that's oozed out. Obviously, the back of his head's probably in worse shape, but that's not visible from here. The only other thing is he looks content. There's not quite a smile on his face, but there it's not a death grimace or anything like that. It's he looks quite a bit younger in death than he did in life, as though the burdens and worries he carried have been lifted from him.
I think Rachel takes that kerchief that she used to cover her mouth when she was down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to take that and carefully wipe that black, bloody goop off of his forehead.
Okay.
She'll lean over him and whisper, "Thank you for giving me a chance when no one else would," and we'll reverently kiss him on the temple. And then pull the blanket back over him.
You slowly pull the blanket back over his face. He looks... You almost half expect him to just, open his eyes and sit back up. You recall the numerous times he told you, "I always come back, Deputy. I always come back." And you feel a weight in your heart and your stomach, knowing that he's not coming back this time.
Is there a horse nearby that we could hitch this wagon to?
There's your horses, or you could just
roll it ourselves.
Yeah.
I'll wheel it.
Okay. I guess Rachel will take up the other side.
Herod will take up the back and make sure it stays on course.
You push the cart, you push-pull the cart to the Jacksonville Cemetery. It takes a little bit of time. As you come closer and closer to the cemetery, you can see that it's been the site of its own battle. There are dead Wendigos strewn all over the place. And you see You see Edgar Pittman standing in his full Undertaker outfit in front of his house as though he were expecting all of you.
What happened here?
Edgar, did you do all of this?
No. No, I did not. I cowered in my house, awaiting the end. The monsters scraped and scratched at my doors and windows. They tried to break in. I could hear the sounds of the battle, but I knew that no one was coming. And then, well, there was a man who was the sheriff, but was not. And he carried with him a sword of fire, and he slew the beasts, the monsters, all of them. And he gave me hope that this was not, in fact, the end. And he told me that you would be coming with his body, and asked that I give him back to the earth.
Well, my God.
I suppose this is some compelling evidence towards that.
It's not just his body.
Oh?
Unfortunately, our mayor has also fallen.
Oh. That is sad. He told me not to be sad about him, but the mayor is a different story. I am very sorry.
Do you know what Jonathan would have wanted?
No, I barely knew him. I didn't have a chance to ask. He was so young.
Well, Edgar can embalm the body if you and Daisy want to take some time to decide what you'd like to do. I know this is hard, but
I think that Daisy should be the one to choose. It's her husband, after all. And I would just as soon bury him, but I don't know if she has a preference. I hope it's nothing to do with Lemurians.
I will keep him safe until you decide what is to be done.
I will let you know soon.
Very well. And I'll keep watch, keep vigil in case he... He kind of frowns and says, comes back.
I was going to ask about that, actually.
Is there a way to tell if such a thing would happen?
Once the body sits up and starts walking around, that's the tell.
I am sorry for that happening.
You're not the first, you won't be the last.
I'm aware, but for my part.
I had not considered that was even possible.
As far as I know, there is no rhyme or reason to it.
Well, we thank you, Edgar.
Huh? What?
We thank you for your hard work.
Oh. Yes, thank you.
It is unfortunate that we must bury our friends, but you do it with a almost reverence, and I thank you for that.
I mean, it is my job. But Yes, you're welcome. Feels odd to say that in response to a compliment, but you're welcome.
Let us know if you need anything, any help.
I will be fine now. He kind of squints and looks at your badge and says, Sheriff?
Rachel blinks because she's not used to being called that, and then looks down at the badge and says, for now at least, we'll see after all this.
I'm sure the people of this valley will not soon forget what you have done, what you have given to help keep them safe. I expect you should get comfortable wearing that badge.
I don't know if that's possible. But I'll do my best.
Yes, we all shall.
One of the things you should probably do as your first job as sheriff is send Billy and the Bailey boys up here to clean up the mess.
Rachel looks around at this destroyed graveyard and says that's a good idea.
Yes, I have a couple of graves to dig now. After all, I shall get to it. Good day. And he turns and walks over to his tool shed and grabs a shovel and hefts it over his shoulder and starts walking out across his graveyard looking to appropriate places to put the plots. And the three of you are left standing there going, okay.
Yeah.
Well, as we're walking back, I think that Rachel would notice that every so often throughout this entire thing, Haru's been fiddling with something in his pocket.
Would you just fucking ask her?
It's not the right time.
It is definitely... okay, well, maybe wait a day. It is a little too soon after this battle, but...
Can Herod do a notice check to see that he's fiddling with a ring in his pocket?
Absolutely.
If things go according to plan, you're about to descend into hell...
That would be a 17.
Oh, yeah, you notice.
In kind of an uncharacteristically warm moment, he steps up to you, Haru, and kind of places a hand on your shoulder when Rachel's sort of walking a bit ahead of you and sort of turns you around a little bit and just says, I was wrong, Haru. People are not replaceable. And then he releases your shoulder and just kind of walks off towards the town, leaving you alone with Rachel.
Deadlands and Savage Worlds are the property of Pinnacle Entertainment Group. All content is used unofficially under the Savage Media Network license. Find more of their great products at peginc.com. Sound effects are by Plate Mail Games and Battle Bards. Music by the Eaglestone Collective and Danheim. You can find links to all of the above in the show description. As always, thank you for joining us for this episode. If you've enjoyed this, please consider leaving a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever else you listen. Thank you once again, and we'll catch you next time.